It's your journey. You have to mind your business.
Yeah.
You have to invest the time to understand what's happening. When opportunity shows up, mm-hmm. don't take it lightly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be excellent. Mm-hmm. Go over and above.
Hey guys, welcome to Financially Incorrect. I am your host, Barack. And remember, this is a podcast proudly sponsored by FX Spesa. If you'd like to learn about trading, they offer free classes at all of their offices, all of their locations. They also offer this online for you guys to learn whether you'd like to open a demo account or an actual account to trade. All the links are in the description box, so please remember to do that. Thank you guys for all the support that we've been getting for, I guess, the community that we've built now. We are trying to get more and more people on here that we can talk to and we can interview, trying to get as many diverse careers as possible. And today we have someone from the Nairobi Stock Exchange. Her name is Mbithe Mwema and she's the Chief Business Officer at the NSE. Welcome to Financially Incorrect.
Thank you. I don't know whether to say thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. I haven't heard that one before.
So, Mr. President, yeah. You're for the show.
I haven't heard that before.
Thank you for having me. How are you doing? Barack. I'm good, thanks.
And you're well? Yes. You said that you're overdressed. You're overdressed because you had meetings today.
Yes, I had meetings the whole day. Actually, yeah. I've been in meetings, back-to-back meetings. I'm from 9.
Yeah.
We tend to have long, lengthy meetings just to come up with solutions for the capital markets.
Yeah.
But I'm very excited to be here. So I've seen you dressed and I'm like, okay, wow.
We shall just Should I have come in, you know, no. like, is there a dress code for the NSE actually?
We're investment bankers, it's capital markets, it's very, you know, it's
formal.
You know, it's how you show up so that I can make you doubt yourself a little bit and just say yes and sign. So, you know, if they have stripes.
Right, right.
So actually, I mean, I think now we are playing a little bit with the colors. Mm-hmm. In fact, there's once we had a session for the tech world
mm-hmm.
during the tech summit that was held in Nairobi, mm-hmm. the Africa Tech Summit.
Mm-hmm.
And we all dressed down. So mm-hmm. I told everybody in the industry, I mean, in the firm, my chairman, my CEO, myself, my peers, I'm like, you know, we are meeting guys in the tech world.
Right.
So we all dress down. We just dress, okay, fine. We can do jeans and a t-shirt and
right.
sneakers,
right.
you know, like the way
smart
you're dressed.
Casual,
you know,
right.
smart casual.
Right.
Do you know what the guys in the tech world
they
did?
They dressed up.
Exactly. So they were all in pinstripes, you know. So, we, you know, my chairman and my CEO, I was like,
so
really
they look like the investment bankers and you guys look like the tech guys.
You know, because we're really trying, okay, like, you know, how do we balance
right.
here?
Right.
So it's very, and then also I think because we interact with the different stakeholders. Mm-hmm. So one minute you could be called to government, mm-hmm. another minute you could be called to State House, another minute you could be going to see a client, another meeting you could be, another minute you could actually be here.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's probably, you have to dress for where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
So because we are meeting people with a lot of money
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
making serious decisions, then the dress has traditionally been very, just look smart,
yeah.
look your best.
Yeah.
You really have to have an impact as you walk in.
Okay.
Right. I hope I've had an impact though.
Did you have an impact?
Yeah. If you're thinking about it, perhaps not.
Yeah.
Next time I'll come with stripes.
No, I'm looking around the room to try and sort of figure
okay,
out.
Okay, no, I'm a bit, yeah. Dressed. You can see I'm the different one here.
You're closer to Collins, maybe.
I'm the different one here.
Yeah,
the different. The you can actually see this one is not from our ecosystem.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, next time.
Next time, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I want to ask you, how's the NSE doing? Because the last thing that I publicly
mm-hmm.
heard or read about the NSE was the article in Bloomberg that rated you guys, was it the worst in Africa or was it the worst in the...
I think it was the worst in the world.
The worst in the world, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I hear from... I met someone who worked at the NSE and they told me that it cost them a listing, actually, if I'm not wrong, that article.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
So how are you guys doing now? That was, what, 3-4 months ago?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
That was a tough season
mm-hmm.
because I think the story came out and the comparison was looking at indices and
mm-hmm.
it was comparing us to a certain point in time.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to tell you, Mr. Mm-hmm. President, you know, I feel like it's an executive, you know, brief.
Right.
Dear Mr. President,
right.
as yesterday, we were actually the best performing exchange in Africa.
Right.
We are up 20% year on year.
Yeah.
So you see the thing about markets, they're quite cyclical.
Mm-hmm.
And also for the NSE, what's unique about us, we have a lot of foreign investors who trade.
Okay.
On a given day, there could be 65-70%. So for them, anything that's happening at a macroeconomic level, whether
mm-hmm.
it's interest rates, inflation, and
mm-hmm.
currency,
mm-hmm.
they'll be very wary.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we did see a bit of a weakening on the Kenyan shilling
mm-hmm.
over the last 1 year, 18 months.
Right.
So with that, then demand abated.
Mm-hmm.
And that caused the fact that there was no demand and supply. The
mm-hmm.
prices actually came tumbling. The index came down.
Okay.
But we've seen stability on the macro variables.
Yeah.
So then we're in a much better place. Actually, this year, we've had our largest trade on a year-to-date basis for bonds,
mm-hmm.
the infrastructure bond.
Mm-hmm.
It saw investors coming back into our markets.
Mm-hmm.
We traded over 240 billion worth of bond trades in mm-hmm. less than 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, then we are beginning to see the trickle into the equities.
Right.
So we're beginning to see investors picking up on Safaricom, KCB Equity, the large caps.
Right.
And that's it's good. It's a much better environment. And secondly and lastly, we're also seeing issuers talking to us.
Okay.
I've been the business development, the chief business officer at NSC. This is now my third year.
Okay.
I remember when I joined, it was always, hi, can we meet you? Please mm-hmm. give us some time.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's, hi, Mbitha, what can we do at the exchange?
Mm-hmm.
You know, with interest rates, can we be able to get some opportunity to raise capital? Can we do a corporate bond? Can we list? Can mm-hmm. we do an IPO?
Mm-hmm.
So that sentiment is changing, mm-hmm. which means that we are actually in a much better place mm-hmm. than we were a year ago.
Okay.
Yes.
That's exciting. I've heard you talk about, you know, or use very technical terms, right?
Okay. You know, I was debriefing the president, terms. Yeah.
And
now I should come back to Barack.
Yeah, okay. And I tried my best to read up on as much as I could grasp it, to understand elements about the stock exchange. But for the, you're saying that right now, you know, you've been 20% growth year on year. You're the best performing security exchange in Africa.
Yes.
What does that mean for me, like me as Barack?
Okay.
Like, what does
so
that
now,
mean?
Barack, yeah. What that means is, you know, when you go buy things, you always want to get something that is of good value
right.
at a cheap rate, isn't it?
Right.
Can you imagine, I mean, the location we are at, they're really good luxury cars parked outside.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if you went to buy a Range Rover and they tell you this is the latest Range Rover,
mm-hmm.
but today we are selling it at half the value mm-hmm. that you'd normally buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Would you buy it?
I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. I'm not certain whether I would.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would that be good value for you if it goes at X and today it's going at half?
If it's
the price?
Not a con, then
yes.
yeah.
If it's not a con.
Yes, if it's not a con, I'd buy
if everything
it.
Works.
Yes, yes,
and
I would
it's legitimate.
Yes,
and
I
they
would
just
buy it.
Say just for today it's at half
yeah,
the price.
I would buy it.
You'd consider
yes,
it, right?
I would, yeah.
So that's the same thing about shares.
Yeah.
So shares, there are two ways of looking at the value.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll have a share that's listed on NSE.
Mm-hmm.
It has its operations. You make money by earning a dividend
mm-hmm.
or when the price goes up. So I buy low and it goes high.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you make money.
Yeah.
So what has happened because of all these macroeconomic factors, which is a lot of jargon, but it's very important,
mm-hmm.
is the institutional investors who drive that demand.
Mm-hmm.
Look at those factors.
Mm-hmm.
But because Kenya is getting into a better place,
mm-hmm.
then that demand is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So the stocks that you would have bought at double the value
mm-hmm.
a year or two ago
mm-hmm.
are still the same. They're still making money.
Mm-hmm.
But today they're at half price.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have the most traded stock is Safaricom for us.
Mm-hmm.
During COVID, it went to 44 shillings.
Mm-hmm.
Today, it's at 15 shillings.
Mm-hmm.
Have you stopped calling?
No.
If you use Safaricom?
No.
Okay, have you stopped sending money?
No.
So, and then the people who use it, they're still using Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
So if that has not significantly changed, then you're actually getting the stock that you could have bought at 44
yes,
at 15 shillings, in a simple way.
Right.
So what I'm saying is, I think where we are at now,
mm-hmm.
it does pay attention as you're looking at different asset classes
mm-hmm.
to come and look at NSE.
Mm-hmm.
We have companies that are paying you significant dividends.
Mm-hmm.
Standard Chartered just announced its financials.
Mm-hmm.
It's paying you 29 shillings
mm-hmm.
per dividend.
Mm-hmm.
That's a return of about 15%,
mm-hmm.
give or take. That's
mm-hmm.
a good return.
Mm-hmm.
So I think paying attention to this and diversifying your portfolio
yeah.
amongst everything else that you have means that it's a good time to pay attention to shares. And you really should be looking at the NSE.
Okay. I'll go and speak to my financial advisor.
Oh, yes.
I mean, before we started recording, we were just talking and we're talking about how the dollar has dropped, and I didn't know.
Yes.
I hadn't paid enough attention.
Yes.
I didn't know that it's now projected for 125. You said 135.
Yes.
Yeah, I left it at like 150.
Yes.
And I would have made some
okay.
I would have made some money, I think, because I bought my dollars at 145.
Oh, is
so I've
it?
Lost.
You've
I've
lost.
Already lost what no, 10 shillings per.
Yeah, that's.
Anyway.
But no,
yeah.
before you move away from that, I know
yeah.
the title of your podcast is Financially Incorrect.
Yes.
Let me point out something that more often than not we do as individuals.
Mm-hmm.
So you make a decision based on somebody's advice, which is okay because
mm-hmm.
you're not the expert.
Mm-hmm.
But then after you make that decision, you stop paying attention
yeah.
to what you're doing.
Yeah.
And that's the fallacy that more often than not we do. So when you do that, then you lose money and then you ask yourself, if you come back a year later, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it? So one of the things that we what I really like about what EGM is doing and what different spaces are doing when it comes to financial literacy, it's your journey. You have to mind your business.
Yeah.
You have to invest the time to understand what's happening so that when you're talking about macro jargon, you pay attention and you can know.
Yeah.
Because it's very painful when you put your money in and however many dollars that you bought, you sacrifice. There's an opportunity cost. Yeah. You could have done something else. So you put the money there. And so what you find, I mean, even in my journey, in my work, and I used to do a lot of financial literacy work, you find that someone is very eager and you spend so much time before you make the decision.
Mm-hmm.
After you make the decision, it's like you disappear.
Yeah.
You go on holiday.
Yeah.
Then you come back 5 years later and you're like, what happened? You know? Right. So there's that element of how am I then learning? This is what it took to get here. How can I actually improve on my own knowledge so that in a year's time, I can be able to appreciate the dynamics and make a better decision nonetheless?
Okay, interesting. Thanks for that, you know, lesson other than losing money. I'll take that lesson home.
Okay, great.
Let's get into your journey, right?
Okay.
Let's get into how you ended up working at the NSC.
All right.
Did you always want to work in money? Was money always like, I guess, what's the word? Did money always draw you in?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Okay,
From childhood, what experiences did you have as a child or as you were growing up that you'd say that, yeah, money sort of drew you in?
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember in university, I was at the University of Nairobi.
Okay.
I was studying a Bachelor of Arts in Economics and Communication. And I was also studying an accounting course in ACCAs. So I remember at some point I started coming to school very early, and I did it a while back where we didn't have our own personal computers.
Mm-hmm.
If you needed to do something with the computer, you had to go to the library.
Mm-hmm.
So because I was taking a communication course and there was all these things that we needed to do, so I'd go to the library early.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, so since I have some time, I'd look for news and I'd see Google News. And there was the Google Normal News and Google Business News.
Mm-hmm.
So I started reading and I was like, oh, wow, there's a whole universe out there about how money works.
Mm-hmm.
Then one day in the library, I just randomly came across a book called Liar's Poker.
Mm-hmm.
And Liar's Poker describes investment banking in New York and how much money they made.
Mm-hmm.
They'd come in, they'd trade, they'd make double, triple, 10 times over, and they'd buy the best cars, the fastest cars. I was like, wait a minute, where is this universe?
Yeah.
So anyway, the gentleman was writing about his time at Solomon Brothers and how it went up and how it went down, and it was such a craze. Then on this other side, I'm finding all this business news about what's happening in on Wall Street, New York, a stock goes up, a stock goes down. So I was very curious about it, and it got me so excited.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first time I interacted with stock markets in my mind. And I was like, this place sounds fun. And just for your benefit, I was not a geek in uni. It's just I'd gone through...
What do you mean by you're not a geek? What's a geek in
you? You know, a geek when definition? I'm saying, well, I was in the library or I was, you know, please. I used to spend most of my time, we used to call it, you know, hanging around. Beer is about being around. So as long as you're always around something that's nice and fun.
Right.
But in that season, I think it was maybe our exam season or some season. So that's why I had to like spend a lot of time focused. That's how I ended up in the library and found this book. Because I was trying to read for econometrics. I'm like, my goodness, this stuff is so... So when I found this, I was like, ah, this is nice and it's an easy read.
Right.
So anyway, when you put now that aside, I think fast forward, when I finished university, my first job, somebody called me and said, hi, there's somebody who's looking for someone to man their desk, like an assistant, an office assistant. I was like, I have nothing else that I'm doing. I don't mind. So I walk in and I'm doing my interview and they're asking, what is your background? Accounting, economics. And you don't mind taking this? I'm like, I think it was that season of you take whatever comes.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
So I said yes to that opportunity, only to find out that it was actually a Russian bank that was coming into Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
So it was called Renaissance Capital.
Mm-hmm.
So they asked me, do you know Renaissance Capital? I'm like, no, I don't know. It's like, anyway, you can do the job. You can pick a phone and you can talk. I'm like, yes, I can.
Yeah.
So that's the time they were setting up. So then as I did that, they were hosting about 40 foreign investors who were coming from Russia, US, and UK.
Mm-hmm.
So then my work was to coordinate all that logistic. And then they discovered I'd done economics and they needed an analyst. So they asked, can you help us curate the Kenya macro story? You know, statistics from KNBS.
Right.
What's the employment rate? What's the literacy? Because for all these investors, they'd heard about Africa, but this was foreign to them.
Right.
Then in doing that, I think I had a boss who decided, you also did accounts. Mm. So I used to work from 6 to midnight because I'm an assistant, 8 to 5. Right. Then in the evening, I have to reconcile our petty cash. Then in the first part of the morning, I have to look at the KNBS data.
Right.
But that's what got me smack into the middle of banking, because these guys came and everybody was looking at Africa at the time. Mm-hmm. And they set a standard when it came to research and how you actually do proper investment banking. Mm-hmm. But I think because my mind was already attuned to this is what I want to do, mm-hmm. most of my peers were getting jobs in commercial banks. I was not very keen to be a teller and count money. I was like, I want to know how people make money.
Yeah.
So that's how then with that, you know, just visualizing and imagining how could this life look like that I ended up here. And truly by God's grace, actually, it has nothing. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I was in the right place. No, or truly it was by God's grace.
Right.
So then I evolved. Then I got into research. Then I got into corporate finance, into investment banking and into sales and looking at Africa as a continent. And then marketing Kenya as an investment case, marketing Africa as an investment case, and all the while learning how do these big boys and girls make money.
Right.
Because I'm like, they come here, you're telling them Safaricom, it's so big. I'm like, honey, how many dollars is it in market capitalization? Like pocket change, you know.
Right.
So that's really now the interplay between that experience and how I got. And then fast forward, then I finally joined the NSC. But previously I was doing investment banking. I was covering Africa. I was doing Africa equity sales. I was head of an Africa office for a UK boutique bank. Mm-hmm. So I've had a good experience. I even worked with Equity Investment Bank, mm-hmm. helped them set up. So local and foreign experience.
Okay.
Yes.
Did you map out your career? Did you deliberately map out where you are now? Did you map out how you were going to get there, or the things that you needed to do to be able to get there?
No.
Did you deliberately think about it, or was it just opportunities that sort of came up? Okay.
I think because I get asked that question many times, and I think everybody's always like, okay, so what? How do I plan? And my response is, when opportunity shows up, mm-hmm. don't take it lightly. Mm-hmm. You know, be excellent. Mm-hmm. Go over and above. So the reason I've shared with you, like for instance, the days I used to work 6 to 12, the days I'd probably, and that's 12 midnight, not 12 mm-hmm. noon. Mm-hmm. And then the days I'd probably push it. Sometimes you're in the office till 4 in the morning and you mm-hmm. shower and you come back at 6. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, when you find opportunity.
How old were you when you were doing this?
Just after uni, my first degree.
Right.
So 24, 23.
Okay.
And you know, at some point I just lost touch with all my friends. Because I was always so tired and cranky, and you're working and you're trying
and
to do this.
How long do you keep that cycle going?
It went from, I'm not too sure if it has. Anyway. It was good. It was a good, because let me tell you, so you notice, because now I'm a senior manager, mm-hmm. which means I lead teams.
Right.
So you actually notice that people who have such a foundation, people who've come from such environments or from the accounting space or spaces where a lot is required from you mm-hmm. mentally, first mm-hmm. you mentally you become strong mm-hmm. and then you know what needs to get done. Those people make a huge difference and they really scale up. But if you become the person of maybe I got this job and it's only 8 to 5 and I'll never do anything else, that I don't think that's the right approach. So rather than saying, I know there are people who, this is what I'm going to do at this age, I'm going to do this. What I've learned in my journey, and I think this is my 18th year mm-hmm. of working, mm-hmm. is whatever opportunity comes, do it. Mm-hmm. And Barack, I think mm-hmm. the other thing I've learned is have a servant attitude. I keep mm-hmm. telling my team that today I could be the chief business officer mm-hmm. at NSC. So I'm giving, let's do this, guidance and what mm-hmm. have you. But because of the spaces that I sit in, mm-hmm. there days I'm the rapporteur. Mm-hmm. So I'm typing. So that's one thing my mom made me do. When everyone mm-hmm. was doing computer courses, I went to type.
Right,
so I'm always, so I'm a rapporteur. So, you know, I go back to that intern, that first level job.
Right.
But if you look at it like, this is not me, this, I should not be doing this. But anytime I'm in such a space, I'm always like, what am I learning?
Right.
What am I doing? And you begin to see the benefits later on mm-hmm. because even in my current job, I can do many things. Mm-hmm. So you're actually adding a lot more value mm-hmm. to the people that you're working with. Mm-hmm. And if you take that servant mentality, I think that, you know, it's the opportunities are endless.
Okay.
You can do anything.
Okay. Let me try debunk that a little bit, right? Of the different things that are motivating you to, you know, take these opportunities, be the person that you are, how much is money... or how big of a factor is money as this thing that's driving you? Whether it's the pursuit of money, mm-hmm. whether it's the amount of money that you are making. How much is money vis-a-vis, I guess, any other thing that's contributing to you, you know, mm-hmm. wanting to work 16, 20, 20 hours, just okay. go home, shower, come back. Yeah.
All right. Earlier in my career, when yeah. I started, I'm like, I just need money. Yeah. I just want to live a good life. I want yeah. a car. I want a house, etc. You know, it was just all about money.
Yeah.
But in that season of also my personal development, I did take a sabbatical, a year out. I wanted to find out, who am I? What do I want to mm-hmm. do? What's my life's purpose? Mm-hmm. And in that journey of finding out my life's purpose, then I realized I do want to be in a space. I mean, what I didn't like was the fact that we had all these foreign investors coming in mm-hmm. and they see opportunities mm-hmm. and they come and they buy up stock and they sell at double the price. There's a time Safaricom was at 2 shillings. Mm-hmm. Everyone was running out of the market. Mm-hmm. Foreign investors were buying it at 2. They sold off at 30 shillings. Mm-hmm. What kind of multiples are that? That's mm-hmm. crazy. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if you put in 1 million shillings?
Yeah.
No, even 2 million. Yeah. You bought shares worth 2 million. And then it moved to 30. Shillings.
So you're making...
Sure, we wouldn't even be discussing right. anything else. So right, I was right. very curious because I used to compare, why do people from other countries, why is their mindset different mm-hmm. from how we would invest? Because when you talk to investors, they're like, 2 shillings, get me out, like cut my losses.
Yeah.
So I was very curious just to understand and find a way, because of this, the space that I was privileged to sit, I could see mm. both sides.
Yeah.
So then my purpose and my aspiration was to understand how it happens on this side and to find a way to provide that knowledge, to address that knowledge gap with the thought of impacting. Mm-hmm. This is how simply I used to look at it. What saddened me then was, can you imagine somebody who's been making their monthly contributions to their social security fund, mm-hmm. probably have done it for 40, 50, 60 years. And we had the stories where the same people go to collect. Mm-hmm. Now they're tired, they're finished working, and they're told there's nothing. Because people made an investment at this level, it's at this level.
Yeah.
Everything has been wiped out.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how distraught that woman is?
Yeah.
So my ethos was, I want to find a way that when this person puts the 200, we can find a way first to protect it. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing is, let's grow this 200 to 500 to 1,000. Mm-hmm. And what is it that we need to do? Because somebody has already figured out how that works. Mm-hmm. How do we then bring that here? Mm-hmm. So I think from that point in time, my motivation moved from money to, how do I get knowledge? How do I get understanding? Who do I want to work with if I'm given the opportunity? Where will I learn? And where will I have an impact? And I'm also very adventurous and curious in my mind. I mentioned earlier that most of my peers, when we finished university, they got banks and commercial banks,
right.
jobs in commercial banks.
Right.
I'm grateful that I did, because my mind, and for whatever reason, how God has gifted me, I'm not the best at tick one. You know, did the paper come in at 8?
Right.
Did
right.
we? You know, I'm not the best. There are people who do that meticulously.
Right.
But my mind is very curious, and I'm always trying to understand, how are these guys doing this? How are they fixing this? Mm-hmm. How do we then fix ourselves and do this? Mm-hmm. Who needs to be in this room? How do we converse this? How mm-hmm. do we push this conversation mm-hmm. to make a difference tomorrow? And how mm-hmm. do we keep at it mm-hmm. till we see the difference? So then my journey then allowed me that.
Okay.
And in all the spaces that I worked, again, by God's grace, highly privileged, I worked with people who had a similar mindset mm-hmm. and they were always thinking, where are we going? I'll give you an example. I did work at Equity Investment Bank. When we went and set it up, and we realized that most of the businesses needed debt, not equity. Equity mm-hmm. was a foreign conversation. We were trying to see, how could we replicate the success of Equity Bank? It listed and it made so many people wealthy.
Yeah.
So we were asking ourselves, how do we get businesses, because they're big businesses here, and replicate this story?
Right.
That's where our investment banking team came in.
Right.
But then it was a very good idea, well ahead of its time. Mm-hmm. Now, when that entity folded, because of, I think, the kind of work that I used to do, I was invited to a commercial bank, and I helped them set up the investor relations desk. Mm-hmm. So that gave me the opportunity to work under Dr. James Mwangi and Mary Wamai. Mm-hmm. So you see, you're working with people who are thinking, they've gone beyond Kenya.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, so what next in Africa?
Yeah.
You know, and also in all my other jobs, even here at NSC, so people are always thinking, what is the next big thing?
Yeah.
So when you're in that space, then you find that, because perhaps your mindset moved to, I want to know
yeah.
and to understand.
Yeah.
And I value knowledge and understanding.
Yeah.
Then you find that the money follows you later on.
Okay.
There are times you may get it. There are times you'll have to sacrifice and not have that particular paycheck you'd have wanted. But you're always looking forward. Mm. And somehow you find that things always add up together. You'll end up getting what you wanted. But if you focus on Barack today, you decide, I just want a paycheck. Mm-hmm. And then you're not too sure what you want to do with the paycheck or yourself. Mm-hmm. The paycheck could actually bring in distractions your way. Mm-hmm. You could end up, you're using your money for the things that are not productive.
Right.
You're getting into unproductive habits. And we've seen people who are excellent, people who are smart. 10 years, somebody got a CEO before the right time. my goodness, 10 years, he's the village drunk. And you're like, how did you move from grass to, you know, from grace to grass?
Right, right.
So those are some of the things that at least I consider. I'd be curious to know what you consider.
At the moment, literally this moment, I think I'm trying to look at a value proposition, right?
Okay.
Try to provide value. I wouldn't say that right now I'm very money motivated.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm here shooting financially incorrect.
Okay.
Right. Anyway, I want to explore a few themes that you've raised that we haven't talked about on Financially Incorrect. The first one I'll talk about is a sabbatical.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're the second person now who's talked about, we had Clara here not too long ago who had taken a 3-month sabbatical, and now you said you took a year-long sabbatical. Mm-hmm. And I want to understand, how did you prepare for your sabbatical? Did you have to save a certain amount of money and be like, okay, at this point in time, mm-hmm. Now I can take a sabbatical and be able to pay my bills? Or were you still being paid by your employer during mm-hmm. that period? And then even during the sabbatical, what are the things that you're doing? Why was it important for you to mm-hmm. take this?
Okay.
Let me start with those two questions. Yeah.
Okay. Fantastic. So why did I take the sabbatical? Before I answer that, there's something you brought up in terms of, did I have sufficient resources?
Yes.
One thing I've come to appreciate, mm-hmm. for any cause, whether good or bad, mm-hmm. whether positive or negative, mm-hmm. you will never have sufficient resources to do it by yourself. It doesn't matter who you are. Yes, it doesn't matter what you're doing. You will need, if you have a dream that is going to impact people, hmm. beyond you and me, myself and I, mm-hmm. you will need resources, and whatever resources you put aside, mm-hmm. at some point you will run out of them. Now let me come back to my sabbatical.
Okay.
I know I've put a pin. We'll come back to that conversation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When I was taking the sabbatical, I was in a space in my life where I was really looking for purpose. I'm like, my life can't just be doing this crazy work hours, you know, moving. I didn't feel like I was actually being meaningful in my work, though mm-hmm. my work was good. I had mm-hmm. a good environment. So I think I got to a space where I was like, you know what, I was doing my master's as well locally.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I really want to understand, because I figured if I continue like this,
mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm going to be happy with myself in a decade or two or three.
Okay.
Because at that point in time, my life really was, I just need to make money, which means I'll just keep working extra hours. My life is imbalanced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have time for friends. I don't have time for family. I don't have time for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I don't do those hours and it's a highly competitive environment,
mm-hmm.
then you lag behind.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, I don't think life is supposed to be like this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the end is supposed to be like this.
Mm-hmm.
Then I know I've talked about God in different areas of my life, but
yeah.
it was also more of a faith decision.
Okay.
Because I said, what did I say? Kenya, it was a time when Kenya was celebrating her Jubilee.
Okay.
And I was in a space and somebody said, there's something called the year of the Jubilee. I was like, tell me more.
Is it 50?
Yes, the year of the Jubilee.
Yeah.
So there's a whole biblical concept around the year of the Jubilee.
Yeah.
I'd never had it before.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting and this gentleman who's preaching,
right.
he's actually called Pastor Simon, he's still one of my pastors.
Right.
And he's saying that the year of the Jubilee, what it meant
mm-hmm.
is your debt was cancelled.
Mm-hmm.
If someone had taken your land because you owed them, they gave it back. It's like a whole, you're like...
It's like a restart.
A restart,
mm-hmm.
a refresh.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole thing was, you know, we are celebrating Jubilee, and it was also an election cycle, if you can recall.
Mm-hmm.
And there were all these songs about Jubilee, Jubilee, mm-hmm. Mwaka wa Jubilee.
Mm-hmm.
Ha! So now me and my young little self,
mm-hmm.
full of faith, said, if the Lord can redeem Kenya, you remember, I used to look at KNBS statistics. So I know the debt levels. I'm like, my needs are not so much.
Yeah.
So I was like, I have savings. They'll get me to a certain point. But just in case. In fact, so I said, Lord, if you're doing this for Kenya, please. Anyway, nonetheless, I was still in that space of, I really needed to just figure out. I was at a point of like, I just needed to figure out. So I had saved. And
what was your runway? Yeah, when you say you saved, what was your runway?
I had actually saved 4 months.
4 months worth
so
of
four
expenses.
Months
okay.
I didn't think I was going to do the full year.
Okay.
So 4 months.
You had 4 months worth.
So
okay.
I got out and I did that. And
are you resigning? Are you telling your employer...
I had left my employer. There's somebody I'd talked to in the year,
mm-hmm.
and it was in a banking institution. Then they came back to me at the end of the year. So when I was resigning, I was actually resigning to start my sabbatical. But this firm confirmed, and they said, come and help us with investor relations, setting up this desk. And I went there, and it was just not a good fit for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because my mind was just quite unsettled,
mm-hmm.
I was just not, I was like, no, this is not what I really want
mm-hmm.
to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I excused myself. In fact, my boss then was so sure I was lying to him. And I was like, no, I explained to him, by the way, I am taking a sabbatical. He's like, what? That you're taking a sabbatical, you'll stop earning because you want to do what? Find purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exact statement. That's how his face looked like. He's like, this young girl is just leaving and then tomorrow. Anyway, so that didn't work out. So then I left.
Yeah.
And at least I still had my studies. So I was doing my study. So I spent a lot of time trying to ask, what is purpose? What is important to me? And also spending time trying to understand, why is Africa called the dark continent? Mm-hmm. I mean, why do we sit here with all these resources, mm-hmm. but there's so many poor people? Mm-hmm. Why are we always, what is this that we're always chasing? Mm-hmm. I don't quite understand it. Mm-hmm. Why do we put money into things and we lose it? Mm-hmm. And why is it okay? And why do some people take money for no reason? Mm-hmm. So those are the things that were going through my mind, mm-hmm. because I couldn't reconcile with someone says that in Africa we are poor, but yet all the potential and the future of the world is looking at Africa.
Yeah.
But there's always this... You know, I just could not understand it.
Right.
So I think I spent time just thinking and contemplating and asking myself, what's going on here? And what used to happen, because prior to that, I'd worked 6 years. Mm-hmm. You'd find that the investors that you host who are foreign, mm-hmm. then you compare them to the local investors. I'm very simple in my thinking. I'm mm-hmm. like, we are humans. Mm-hmm. There are 24 hours in our days.
Right.
So how is it that this person's fund is X billions mm-hmm. in dollars, but this person's fund is $100,000 mm-hmm. in dollars. Mm-hmm. And when you're like, their qualifications are the same, mm-hmm. their investment... So I'm like, what is the difference? Mm-hmm. So that's what I spend my time doing. Mm-hmm. And at the time, then I set up my financial literacy company. Mm-hmm. And that's at least now, that's the thing that helped me throughout the year. Because now I used to offer financial consulting.
So between month 6 and month 12...
Actually, I started like from probably month... I didn't have a plan of... In January, I will have this as my client.
Right.
It evolved. Some things evolved. I have one of my teachers back in school for strategy. They used to say any company writes a strategy.
Yeah.
But 99.9% strategy evolves.
Yeah.
All the time. So it's like, even for you, I'm showing you shootings. Like you had hoped to go. We had a set of questions.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
We've gone this direction.
Yeah.
But you always have to have a thing that you're thinking about.
Right.
So in setting up literacy company, then I worked with different companies, most of them owned by my friends, mm-hmm. people who are selling shares, wanted to buy shares, wanted to know what they should do on the NSE. So that was now the kind of work that I was doing. Mm-hmm. But I was also spending a lot of time now speaking to people in my ecosystem, trying to understand mm-hmm. what is this thing and what are we missing? Mm-hmm. Because now what came out of that, and which I'm grateful for, and which still helps me in the decisions that I make, and I hope it will continue to help me, is then I got so much clarity. It's like, I want to be in a space that facilitates prosperity for Africans, by the things that we have. Mm-hmm. What came into my heart as a seed then, and it's still continuing to grow, and it actually shows up in my work, mm-hmm. was this effort we put into companies. Mm-hmm. Why can't they be proper corporates? Mm-hmm. If you have your company, why can't everybody in this room be an investor? Mm-hmm. What is the right structure for that?
Yeah.
Because if you start a company and we invest in it and you know what you're doing, we'll move from 1 to 10. Isn't that value for you and all of us?
Yeah.
So then now that's the space I got into. I started even consulting SMEs. Mm-hmm. Man, it was hard, Barack. Mm-hmm. You go sit with a person, it's like, okay, so if I give you a shilling, how will it be a million? Like, dude. And they want you to buy them tea.
Right.
Like, you buy me some tea and coffee and tell me about how to make money in shares. You're like, it doesn't work like that. So it was a very difficult space. Consulting is getting a bit better now. Mm-hmm. But the seeds that were born in me in that season mm-hmm. was... there's a lot of opportunity for us to prosper, mm-hmm. but we can't prosper with the way we've been thinking and acting. Mm-hmm. I asked the same question today. Is there only one Safaricom? Mm-hmm. Is there only one company in Kenya that has the capacity to earn over $250 billion in its revenue?
Yeah.
Is it only one? Because Safaricom listed in 2008.
Yeah.
It's 2024.
Yeah.
You know, so you find that now those seeds are in my job. I run a program called Ibuka. Mm-hmm. And Ibuka is about preparing companies to come into the market. So it's asking yourself, who's your client? Who's your target market? How are you thinking about your financials 5 years from today? How are you thinking about your corporate governance? Mm-hmm. And telling people, Barack, your sweat capital, nobody cares for it. Eh?
Yeah.
It has to show up in your financials as shareholder value.
Yeah.
That's the only way you're going to get paid.
Yeah.
That was the first thing. Then the second thing was, for you as an investor, you're spending too much. And I'm as simple as saying, if you drink, for instance, and you drink any product that is done by EABL, mm-hmm. you have no business not owning their shares. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that. If you don't even overthink it, because you're going to consume. So consumption, I mean, consumerism, it's a big thing for us. So working through that, so with those seeds, then again, running a retail strategy at the NSC, working with the different teams and seeing how can we actually make it easier for people to buy derivatives, for people to buy REITs, for people to buy shares. So you find that I imagine that I'd have a conclusive perspective then, mm-hmm. but I didn't. But I can assure you, this whole thing of sabbatical and looking for purpose, it's good.
Yeah.
But my mom still laughs at me. It's like, what did you find that I was already in the right place? Took you a year. You should just give me those eyes.
I mean, did you, and even then, what leads you to go back into employment? Did you run out of, did you at any point in time run out of money?
Of course I did. But yeah. you see, because I had this consulting, and again, I keep saying God's grace.
Yeah.
Because you'd find that, I'm like, oh my gosh, my savings. Mm. Then I sit and someone says, but then be there. You should do stocks. My friends want to buy stocks. Can you come and help us and curate our portfolio? Then I charge for that. Mm-hmm. Then they're like, how much you charge for that? I'm like, I'd figure out my rent for the next 1-2 months. Mm-hmm. And then plus my incidentals. That's mm-hmm. what I would charge. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, so I'll come. Or we are going for our annual Chama meeting. We are going to Naivasha. Mm-hmm. We need someone to come and help us figure out where we are at and what we are doing and what we can do better. Well, how much can you charge? Like, you know, so those things kept coming. Mm-hmm. They kept coming, and that's what helped me through the year. Mm-hmm. But it's also interesting because now, even as we continue my story, I'll show you another scenario where I didn't take a sabbatical.
Yeah.
At least I didn't want to.
It was given to you by force.
It was given. I was like,
okay,
hey,
yeah. Let's actually talk about that. Because I think you said, I mean, this was off camera, but you said that you went from a period of literally doubling
my salary.
Your salary, yes. You know, from job to job and being pushed. And you, I mean, obviously, when you're talking about, you can give a bit more context, and then you get to a point where there's
it's
a hard stop.
Okay. Yeah. But let me finish this part. Right. So you see, that's a sabbatical because I had intended in my mind it would be for a year.
Yeah.
Then after that year, I actually started looking for work.
Okay.
It wasn't easy. In my mind, it was 1 year, December, January. So I have multiple skills.
Yeah.
I got a job in August. It really humbles you. But that job, I had so much fire for 10 guys.
Yeah.
I'm like, you need tea? Yes. You need, I'm like, hey.
So you were out of employment for a year and 8 months?
Yes.
Okay.
So then I went back. But you see, when I went back, I mean, I'm not saying that I was judging anyone around me, but you could see I was very entrepreneurial in my mindset.
Yeah.
And I was very clear on what I needed to do.
Yeah.
And I had such great impact because where I was working, mm-hmm. I was working with African Alliance at the time. Mm-hmm. Their portfolio of local, I was doing sales. Mm-hmm. I was doing Kenya sales for them. Mm-hmm. That meant that you talk to foreign investors and local investors mm-hmm. and understand where they're at and get them to trade. Mm-hmm. Now, back at that time, most traders would be like, yo, let's have drinks. Are you going to buy? I'm like, but I don't like that and I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. And because I told her my focus now shifted to knowledge and understanding, mm-hmm. I'd spend more time trying to understand the client's portfolio. Mm-hmm. So that when I came, I'd say, by the way, I noticed you're holding in X versus Y, it looks like this. Have you considered taking a profit here and using that profit to build up your portfolio in this undervalued stock? Mm-hmm. Over time, it then started getting me that, you know, getting me and opening doors because I was very focused on understanding and doing more research because mm-hmm. that was my first job, to actually place sales from a point of knowledge and understanding. Mm-hmm. And that helped us grow and we became like the number one when it came, number one broker when it came to placing local institutional funds. We weren't doing that. So you can see sometimes, I've learned sometimes it feels like it's a catapult. It's like you're pulling back.
Yeah, yeah.
Then when you release you, but some when you're pulling back, it's painful. I know a rock doesn't feel pain, but if you were stretching, you know. So there's that, and it changes your perspective.
Yeah.
Those are relationships that I still have in the market. Mm-hmm. So even today, in as much as I do my work, my mind is not, what is my KPI? Mm-hmm. My mind is always, how are we building the capital markets industry? Mm-hmm. What can I do? What mm-hmm. can you do? Because I'm like, I really want to see the prosperity of Kenyans. I want you to buy shares today and make 20 times over when you come back and get your money.
Yeah.
I want you in the work that you're doing. I'd hope that you start up a company and one day you come and sell and exit and make money for yourself and even leave for future generations.
Yeah.
That's the substance of capital markets. So it's working towards that.
Okay.
All right. Now, it's like I'm asking myself and answering myself.
Well, I had asked
have you ever
like
taken a sabbatical
before?
Or considered a
have
sabbatical?
I have considered. I actually think I'm in the process of a sabbatical of some sort. Mm-hmm. I have considered it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, there's financial pressures. I think for me, I think there's financial pressures that have sort of maybe made me walk with trepidation
and
be like,
that's good.
I don't know if I really want to cut off.
Yeah.
I haven't really thought, but I think it's a really cool idea.
Mm-hmm.
I heard about, I was listening to something that Sam Altman was, where he was talking and he was saying how at some point as well in his career, he sold whatever company and he just took, I think it was a year or a year and a half to just like, you know, do things. And he was saying how he realizes the position of privilege he was in to be able to take a sabbatical for a year and a half without, you know, thinking about expenses. But he was talking about how valuable he thinks it is for anybody. And if anyone has the ability to take a sabbatical at some point in their career, they should.
I think consider it.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, faith moves mountains.
Yeah.
And it helps you. Life is not just about money. There's so much more. Because I think it helps you articulate, who am I? What are my gifts?
But I feel like it's so much easier to say that when you have money.
I didn't have it. It was not enough. And that's why I came back to tell you, whatever that you're going to do, if for whatever reason the Lord puts a dream or there's something in your heart that goes beyond you, it doesn't matter who you are. Yeah. You'll never do it on your own finances or on your own paycheck. We are here at the EGM offices. I can assure you it started as an idea, isn't it? They've had to pull capital to be able to set up offices. When you pull the capital keeps growing. But you think someone sat and said, now me, myself, and I shall be EGM.
Yeah.
You can, even though you are not even doing that, even look at this room. We are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah.
For what? 1 hour of content production.
Yeah.
And there were more of us here, isn't it?
Yeah.
It, so if you actually had to then, if you had to think about how much am I going to pay for everybody's time here, you'd never even start.
Mm-hmm.
But if you say we are here, then what are we able to do?
Yeah.
But keep yourself productive. Because that's the thing. Like
in the sabbatical.
In the sabbatical. Okay. That's the one thing. I was very, I didn't go and sleep and decide I'm on holiday for a year.
Yeah.
It was if there was something happening in finance, I still kept my contacts going for investor roadshows, investor relations.
Mm.
So, you know, so it was sabbatical was a time for me to stop the everyday and process for the future.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was. Mm-hmm. So if you look at it like that, then it doesn't have to be I'll not work. It can be maybe can I do with a bare minimum?
Mm-hmm.
What do I need to do commercially so that I allow my time space to crystallize and conceptualize the future that I think I'd like to have? And more importantly, what impact am I going to live here when my time comes? Because that time will come and you'll no longer be here.
But how do you really balance the pressures of the expenses that you have, the expenses that one are, like, how do you balance the pressures of, I need to meet these expenses? Yeah. Like, you're taking this fantastic but sabbatical to be able to, find a better direction, figure out where you are. But, you know, money is a real thing.
It's a real
thing. At the supermarket, I can't go and tell Carrefour, you know, I want a sabbatical, so just give me this.
So I can tell you, I don't know what other people do, but I can tell you what I did.
Yeah.
Because I knew I was getting into that space. I cut all my expenses to a bare minimum.
Mm-hmm.
So for one, I stopped socializing, I stopped going out, I stopped eating out.
Mm.
So it was, what do I need? I just need to pay my rent.
Yeah.
I had a car then, then I just didn't have a car.
Yeah.
So I didn't have to think about my car, maintaining it. So I just went to bare minimum. What do I need to do? And I actually even moved into a house that was a bit cheaper because I was like, this is important to me.
Yeah.
So now my work was, how my question was, these savings that I have, how long can I stretch them? And then I also became intentional of always looking for things to do. By the way, you guys normally have this meeting. You know, I mean this, I can come and consult.
Mm.
So, you know, looking for those things. So always looking for those opportunities. Oh, we are in school. You're always at the forefront of doing something, coordinating meetings and things like that, so that opportunities never come inside your house. They're outside your house.
Yeah.
I still tell the same thing to my team. I'm like, I don't want to see you at your desk. There's nothing new at your desk.
Yeah.
You know. So when you look at it in that way, you might not have the full picture, but you can do it.
Yeah.
And I'll even now tie that into now later in my career in terms of now having that financial resource.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I came back to my career and it was good. And I was very aspirational. I'm like, let me tell you, we're breaking bank. I want to be a CEO.
Yeah.
That opportunity came. It was with so I was working with African Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
And then with African Alliance, Exotics had a joint venture with the Equity Investment Bank. Mm-hmm. And they were parting ways. So an opportunity came up. They're looking for an analyst. I'm telling you analyst, I'm like, I got you.
Yeah.
Then I got to the table. I was like, baby, what you need
is
a team leader for your Kenyan office. Slide in there.
Right.
So I came in. Yeah. Then I was doing Africa equity sales for them,
mm-hmm.
as well as managing the Kenyan team and the breakup of the joint venture that they had.
Right.
And that was exciting because I'm like, yo, man, this is so good. And I made, because I asked for what I felt I was worth, and I got it.
Yeah.
You know, I think this thing of, man, when you visualize a number, I've noticed even when I do my own financial issues and financial coaching,
mm-hmm.
when you put a number for yourself or for somebody and you just say, tomorrow or in this year, I'm going to make this.
Mm-hmm.
and you put it, and that's your focus. Your mind has a way of just looking for those opportunities. Mm-hmm. But if it's a wish list, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. So that I just went and I said, this is how much I want to get paid. And mm-hmm. I asked for it and I pushed for it and mm-hmm. it came. So I'm like, oh my God, I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm a CEO. I was sitting at a board at mm-hmm. a concert. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, man, life is so good. Now yeah. I'm happy that sabbatical happened.
Yeah.
I'm so grounded.
Yeah.
I got this. I'm going to take up. This Africa has to change, yeah. you know. So I think 18 months in, 1.5 years in.
Yeah.
Like now, you know, we're no longer an investment bank. We're a technology company, you know. Mm-hmm. There's something they were calling MiFID has happened. And mm-hmm. we really have to change our strategy. Mm-hmm. And the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to scale back on the sales teams. So I'm like, okay, cool. You know, I'm like, I'm the only one doing Africa. It's like, you know, Africa is not very strategic right now. So, you know. This was, I think, I remember that it was 7th of January in that year.
Yeah.
And then for some odd reason, I think somehow your soul normally knows that something is coming.
Yeah.
Actually, I still work in this building.
Okay.
So for some odd reason, during that December when it's just low tide, mm-hmm. I started going to Consolata for the lunchtime.
Mass.
It just used to calm me. Before that, I think my boy is like, there's something. So I used to go, and yeah. I used to find it so refreshing yeah. because we go sit there, and it was just nice. So yeah. it was really nice for me.
Yeah.
Now on the day, I remember I got my call.
Yeah.
I was there just, you know, because I think there was just a lot happening in the office, and mm-hmm. I don't know what's happening. Mm-hmm. So I just used to go and I sit. I'm not Catholic, but I just mm-hmm. go sit, mm-hmm. and I do what everyone is doing, and I'm like, I just feel so nice when we leave.
Yeah.
So I see a call from my boss, and it's calling me like once, twice, three times. I'm like, I'm like, our Father who are in heaven.
Yeah.
And I think at that time I used to write the annual note for equity strategy.
Okay.
So I was thinking about what's the theme? And I think, I can't remember the verbatim theme, but it was like, it's okay. It doesn't get worse than this. Mm-hmm. Like, just, we're going to get out of this. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm happy. Now that's going to be the title of my note, because mm-hmm. I'd finished it. Now I need a catchy title. Goodness, I go to the office, I call, Ambitha, I'm here with HR. And that's a call from UK. And I know the drill, I've seen it many times. Right, because when I used to work like Renaissance African Alliance, you're fired, the security guard comes and they walk you out.
Right.
So that you don't leave with proprietary information. You're like, dude, we've been working.
Yeah.
Like zero chills. It happens in the movies.
Yeah.
Zero chills. Like, you pick your handbag.
Yeah. Isn't it crazy how relationships change so quickly? I mean, even if it's a personal relationship and you break up, like, you move from, you know, really good space to, like, it's like we're enemies.
Yeah, it's like now you know, like, that's what happens. Yeah. So they at African Alliance, you're like, used to come in at 8, you're called by HR at 8:01, at 8:05 you have exited the building. So you and your phone and your handbag.
Yeah.
Because the thinking was,
do they even let you take your personal effects? They will send them to you.
You take your things, you don't touch. Because the thing is,
yeah.
the information on the laptop is proprietary and you're no longer part of our show. We want to secure our information, not our data. You shall be escorted out by the guards. Man, it's so cold. So you're sitting there having your tea and the person who sits next to you has been, you're like, oh crap. So we're always like, oh, I hope it's not me next, you know. Mm-hmm. And also, by the time I'm getting to this point, again, by God's grace, my focus was, I wanted to be excellent in mm-hmm. what I did. Mm-hmm. I wanted to add so much value. So I'm trying to be the best at work, mm-hmm. not be the person who's made redundant. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so it's HR and my boss is like, well, Ambitha, you know, so the first set of people to go, I'm sorry to have to inform you. And HR is here. Should you need therapy, there'll be... it helped to go to church, really. Because I was very calm. I think I responded a day later. I was like, what? So, and I'm very calm.
Oh, so they tell you everything, you just...
No, it's a call. Now we have, they're in UK, so we're having a call.
Yeah.
So we are having a call and it's scripted because emotions can't get into this.
Yes.
So DMB there, this is what's happening. We've changed the strategy of the firm and we're letting go of some people. You're part of the first cohort of people who will be let go. We appreciate your service and your input. I'm here with so-and-so from HR. She will speak to you. Then HR says, we're saddened to have you go. You have been a very good employee at the firm, mm-hmm. quite productive and outgoing. So I'm like, no, if I'm adding value.
How am I going?
Anyway, so you have ex. I don't even know what she said.
Yeah.
Then at some point you get an email and it's like, we know this is a very hard season for you. Should you need therapy, the firm will provide 3 free therapy sessions.
Wow.
But I took one.
Wow. No, I had to take all 3. Take all.
Because now I'm like, okay. So I'm like, then it's like, do you have anything to say? Because now that's the part where they're waiting.
So what would you say? Please give me my job.
Thank you. I understand. And I'm very grateful. Honestly, I was grateful for the privilege, for the things. I used to go to sell stocks in Nigeria.
Yeah.
I am there. There's a day I went for a meeting. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm here to see the so-and-so. And that was the chief executive officer. The guy didn't let me in. Because I'm being told I'm so soft-spoken.
Yeah.
I had to go like, I'm here to see your Oga. If you don't open the door, I'm going to chop you now. Hurry up. That's the only time the door was open. Yeah, just like pulsating. Because I'm like, my voice is, excuse me, we're here from so, we're here for this meeting.
Yeah.
The guy was not even, nothing.
Yeah.
He ignored us. Still, I was like, Oga, which Oga? Your big Oga can fire you now. Can you open the door?
Yeah.
Hey, it was flung open. Anyway, let me just come back. So now, So you know, so I
so you go home.
I tell them honestly, I was very grateful for the privilege, and I was like, I'm grateful for the privilege. Just they gave me a 1 month notice. Like, let me know what you need from me, and you know, it's I'm grateful and I understand.
Do you serve your notice?
No, they are exiting you, so they've told you in 1 month.
No, so within the 1 month. Do you work within that 1 month?
Yes, HR says, so you are expected to report to be supportive on all tasks.
That's what I wanted to ask about.
It was okay for a week.
That 1 month period. What is it like?
Barack, after a week, settled in. Yeah. I was like,
why am I helping you guys?
I helped do this. Yeah. I did. So in my brain, I'm like, hey, I'm like, wow, I didn't even see this coming. Mm-hmm. It's January. I'm planning for the year ahead. Mm-hmm. It was painful.
Yeah.
I never, of all things, and even my previous jobs, I think it was, I'm one who would have that decision and that privilege of saying, I think my time here is done. Yeah. I'd like to move on to other things. You know, I'm the person who decided on my own terms to take a sabbatical. Now here, the sabbatical is imposed. Hey, Mala, thing was, it was not funny. Yeah. But it hit.
Yeah.
That time you're trying to be that best employee over working, over doing.
Yeah.
I'm there. I've gone for conferences in Seoul, in South Korea, but I'm still logging into Teams calls on my time off. Like, I'm ready to get into this. Yeah, you know, guys are like, it's been real. Anyway, so we go through the motions. I did my work. I think I believe in honor. Do things in the right way. You might not feel it, but do things because you just don't.
Even as you're serving,
don't you know? I was serving it. Then I do my lunch. Hey, I continued going to consolata. This time I was like, Lord, I thought we were fine. But turns out, I think when I got out and everyone was like, you need to go get a job, and I was like, no. Because I was like, how did this happen?
Yeah.
So I recoiled and I took some time off.
Yeah.
And I think then I said, you remember this seed that had started my company initially?
Yes.
So I was like, by the way, this guy who keeps stressing me. So I just continue this. In fact, let me register because it was a business name.
Yeah.
Let me register. It's what I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about financial literacy.
Yeah.
Let me take the time to build it as an institution and see where it goes, you know. And at the same time, I think I called a friend of mine. She'd lost her job because at some point I was like, wow, now I lost my job.
Yeah.
They made me redundant.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling happy about it. What should I do? So she's like, first, don't stay away too much. Try and get something, even though it's not what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then in that time, I think Metropole TV was starting up a show for investments.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was an analyst, so as an investment bank, I could host it. So they said they invited me and other people, like, come and just do a screen test. And I did a screen test. And again, God's divine mercy.
Yeah.
And they accepted to take me. Man, I don't even know if it's a pay cut. I don't even know what was happening. I think the way I looked at it, I try and turn things around. Yeah. I was like, this place is nice. I get paid and I am dolled up.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a place to go every day because I used to have a show in the morning and in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Barack, the first day they put makeup on me, I was like, wait, what are those?
Yeah.
Hey, you get my, hey. I was like, who is that? I couldn't even recognize myself. And then I removed, then the next day I was like, there's something called erotic capital.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's, you have to look good for the screen.
Yeah, yeah.
So that kept me going because it got me out of my mind.
Right.
Because I was, I was just trying to play the whole scenario of I'm like, do you realize from my sabbatical, it's supposed to keep going.
Yeah,
like
we're not supposed to go down.
It's just I didn't have presidential ambitions. Yeah. Otherwise, that you're like, how did we?
Yeah.
So
let me ask you a question there because of something we talked about off camera. Because you said that based off of the salary that you had at a particular point, which was really good, took a facility.
Yes, I took a facility. Right? Yeah. So I took a facility. Actually, that was now my worst financial decision.
Yeah.
So I had my salary allowed me to leverage and do a lot more than I could have done before. Mm-hmm. And then I leveraged I wanted to buy a property. Mm-hmm. And the property there was a bit of a delay in the construction. Mm-hmm. So they told us to wait 3-4 months. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, hey, you know what? I've already taken this facility. I'm a banker. Money can't just lay idle.
Yeah.
You know, I need to. So I was like, now where do I put it for a return? And I don't want to put it in something long. I just need 3 months and I don't want to put it in my savings account. Yeah. So I think greed. Again, I think it's the things we think about. Now I'm like, you know, first, I've gotten the role that I wanted. You guys, I got this. I know that. And I'm an investment banker. I'm selling these things. I mean, I know what it means to look for a return.
Yeah.
Hey, this guy, I can't even mention his name. See, this Chambers, how you invest in? He was financing. He was like a micro lender, only that he was not a registered one. So
not a registered one.
He wasn't a registered. Are you? And I'm an investment banker. Let me tell you, this one I'm sharing.
Is that not just a loan shark? That's a really good way of putting it. Non-registered lending
He was giving a good return. There was proof of concept. There was proof of concept. The entire ecosystem had made their money back. It'd been there for about 3-4 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, I did the due diligence that I had to do for a stock. Mm-hmm. I went, confirmed his offices, sat in his offices, looked at the registration, the SCR-12, you know, the standard. In fact, I was a bit extra because I was like, I don't know, I didn't realize that his business license was for the previous year. In fact, for me, I just looked business license tick.
Right.
You know, I was going through my due diligence tick, who are the owners, where are your financials audited, asked a few people, both local and foreign peers, like, oh, have you guys? Yeah, we did, and we got our money back. So I'm like, okay, not bad. So test with a little. Mm-hmm. You test, pays you the first month. You're like, hey, what is this?
Yeah. What percent? What is the percentage?
It was 3% per month.
Okay.
And at that rate, I think interest rates were at 7.
Right.
I'm not thinking how high. I'm just like, how high can I? I'm like, okay, jackpot, good job. Man, 3%. You know, if I do this for a year, I mean, I can pay back my debt easily. Yeah. I mean, I'm beating my cost of debt.
Yeah.
Hey. So I'm like, now since I'm waiting for this house, now my plan is we do this because I think I needed to wait 4 to 6 months for the house. So I do something with him and I'm like, let me book it for 6 months so that by the time I get it, I'll go and do whatever I needed to do. Hey. So the guy pays month one, month two, month three, month four. Month five. You know, sorry, there's a bit of a delay with the accountant, blah, blah. So he doesn't pay on the date he's supposed to pay. You have contractual agreements.
Yeah.
So he pays, he pushes it almost to month six. Mm-hmm. No, actually, no, it's from month four. He paid the first 3 months. Mm-hmm. So month four, you're like, please don't play.
Yeah.
No, it was, you know, this accountant, then it's paid.
Yeah.
Hey, month five. Where? The end. You go to the office, walifunga ofisi.
What?
You call the guy.
Yeah.
Now, have you ever talked to a debt collector and how they're rough? Imagine he's been rough with me. Like, they told you, I'll call you back. I'm like, hiya.
You're the one who...
You're like, you owe me money and we are meeting. So we agree to meet somewhere. Yeah. I sit 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. Mm-hmm. I call him. By then, I'm disturbing his peace. Mm-hmm. I'm like, really? Then he comes, now, you know, we had a bit of a challenge. We diversified. We started growing horticultural products. And there's been a bit of a delay in our crop. Like, how did you move from being an unlicensed digital lender to a farmer?
Yeah.
Hey. The guy goes AWOL.
Yeah.
Then I call all these other guys who are the referees. Like, you introduced me to this thing. She's like, me, I got my money out. I'm like, Allah. And at some point, I felt like, Miani, I think you introduced me so that you could get paid. Eh?
The pyramid scheme of
you
some
know,
sort.
Yeah, so it went belly up.
Yeah.
And I never got my money to date.
Yeah.
What?
But you had to pay back.
Of course. You think who's having that conversation with you? No one. As you said, you and your sabbatical, Kafo doesn't know.
Yeah.
Man, that was an hour painful, financially incorrect. Because I'm like, again, now, but I thought... But there's a saying that says mganga ajigangi. But it took some time to first forgive this person, forgive myself. Mm-hmm. But it's out of that pain that which actually now happened. Now when this has happened, when this guy's going away with my money, I've also been made redundant. Mm-hmm. So all of these things are Murphy's Law at the same time.
There's a reason why you are going
to consolator. By the way, I think
a lot of things.
I thought it's Thanksgiving for the year. Anyway.
Yeah.
But that pain, that thing was so painful because I'm like, how have I lost my job? What did I not get? How could I not see this? And then how did I make this bad decision, which I would never have told anyone to do?
Yeah.
But I do realize that the state of your mind determines your output. I was actually being greedy and I was looking for more.
Yeah.
But it's out of that painful lesson that then the firm that had started, which is called Infallible Group, actually got its products. Because I sat with that pain and I sat with it and it was so painful. And I'm like, I have to get out of here because it's such a bad financial hole. And I asked myself, what did I do? I used to evaluate companies and look at their income statement, balance sheet, and cash flow. So I said, why can't I recreate that for myself, which is what you call your personal net worth?
Yeah.
So I looked at my personal net worth. Money was in shambles because my assets, I have these assets that I have and my liabilities, there's this money that I took, which is a facility. It was supposed to finance an asset which would generate cash flow as a return. But this asset liability, because of how I mismanaged it, now it's gone. But you know, it doesn't disappear from my personal net worth.
It's still there.
So my personal net worth was negative. And I can't sit in negative because now that's how it helped me to come up with my personal financial coaching series. Because now I had my 5-year plan. I'm like, what do I need to do? Now I have to generate cash flow so that I can plug this in. And I need to generate cash flow to be able to cover my own expenses. Baraki was bad at some point, I think at my last 10,000 shillings. And I'm there hosting a show with your makeup and looking so dolled up. Man, I was like, Lord, what do I do? Because this is my last 10,000 shillings. I have this that I owe in the facility. But what helped, I had an insurance. So I had about 6 months to figure out what to do. But you remember, I've not gone back to work.
This is the redundancy insurance.
Redundancy insurance. For and I think everyone should take redundancy personal insurance for themselves. And don't take a facility without a redundancy cover in case anything happens. So with my last 10,000, I'm like, what do I do? And I realize as I'm going through prayers and asking the Lord, man, this is painful. And he says, you have a sense of style. So use it to buy worthwhile things and sell. And I'm telling you, me and the streets called Dubois, which
you became,
formerly known as Dubois. I'm like, I'm not going there. I'm still Dubois. Remember, I only have 10,000 shillings. So I'm getting my 10,000 shillings. And that time with my premium wig, which I have to tuck into my bag because the streets are rough. So I'm going to just do this. And I'm like, I ain't having that. So I am walking with my very expensive bag. My laptop, which is a very expensive laptop. I'm tucked in my hair into the handle. I'm walking like this in my flats very quickly. Like, I'm not even about to wonder who would say Sasa sister. Because you look like you're in the wrong side of town. I go to Dubois and I'm walking around and I see things. And I have a nice Mercedes compressor. So I start putting these things into my car and you sell. By the way, hey, I'm telling you, that's how I even have an aspiration for a Rolex watch. I used to sell the fake ones for $2,500. Hey, but I'm also, you know, because, so that's why I'm sharing this story to show you that you can be up here. Anything can happen. And even let me put a pause there. At that time, I was actually reading the story about the owner of Bloomberg. So him, when he was made redundant, you know how much he was given? I think he was given $10 million. So now, you know, I'm reading this book for inspiration. You know, we're in the same... I got halfway, but then we are not. Me, when I was made redundant, no one gave me
$10 million.
A check to...
Right.
So that's when I realized, by the way, US and Africa are two different entities. They're very different because I'm like, I have great ideas. I could do so much. He could also do much. But the difference between... I'm sure there are many differences, but one of the key differences is this person had capital that helped him now launch Bloomberg. I have this great idea on what we can do for financial literacy and have impact as part of Infallible Group, but I don't have the capital. So I'm just trying to make ends meet and I'm here and I'm selling my nice Rolex watches. I'm sure one day I have to
get a
ring. There's a question you sent me for financial freedom. The day you see me with an original one.
We know that you've got there. But, I mean, but with what you're doing right now, because you're talking about, are you able to get enough capital to pay pay off your facility, your monthly.
Now I'm working. I went back to work because I did that for 3 years. So what happens? And that's the thing about financial journeys. I mean, I don't have a pot of gold somewhere. I'm just sharing how it has been for me. So in that journey, you end up restructuring your facility so that they extend it. Now my target of me going to Dubois, I had to pay the bank, pay my landlord. Because you see, most of the money that I had then was used to actually go and reduce this facility, you know. And also remember, some of the money that I had has also gone to this person. Nowadays, we forgave him and I'm like, God bless you. Hey, man, you guys to speak sums. You and your children. So, hey, that thing. You know, so when you get out of it and financial journey, correctness, incorrectness, it's about maneuvering what you have and what comes your way.
Right.
Being a steward is about managing the good and the bad.
Right.
But I think that painful journey is what has actually helped me even now when I went back to work.
Okay.
In terms of the decisions that I am making.
Yeah.
Where am I? Do I need this liability? And I'll tell you the basic thing that came out of it.
Mm-hmm.
For your personal net worth as Barack,
mm-hmm.
most people have assets that don't earn interest.
Mm-hmm.
So people have land.
Mm-hmm.
I have a car. It's an asset. It doesn't earn me interest. It costs me.
Right.
Right? I have a beautiful house and furniture. Yeah. What's the yield on a house today? It's 6%.
Yeah.
Is that the best decision? So it got me thinking about that and talking to people so that if you're going to make a decision today,
mm-hmm.
your responsibility as a good financial steward is what is the yield on this asset? Not because my mother said, my father said, my mm-hmm. chama said. Today, infrastructure bonds are giving you 18%,
mm-hmm.
and your minimum investment is 100,000.
Mm-hmm.
Should you be looking for 3 million to buy an asset that gives you 6%?
Mm-hmm.
That's financially incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things that came out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, your cash flow. You'll either grow your personal net worth either through your cash surplus
mm-hmm.
or taking on somebody else's debt.
Mm-hmm.
If you grow it with your cash surplus, it'll take you time to mm-hmm. build. But there's the magic of compound interest.
Mm-hmm.
Just investing and reinvesting and reinvesting. I had one of my clients who used to put only 50,000 into treasury bills every year
mm-hmm.
for 6 years. She came to me and she said, Bithe, I've been asked to make a competitive bid for a treasury bill mm-hmm. because my portfolio is now 21 million shillings in 6 years.
She put in 50,000
flat
a month.
Yes.
For 6 years.
For 6 years. What she did is she kept reinvesting mm-hmm. it. Compound interest.
Mm-hmm.
Compound interest. Same example, when I'm in different sessions, when I'm doing pro bono work and we teach this, we have a session called Empower Her, Financial yeah. Literacy for Women.
Yeah.
If you put 30,000 at the current rate,
mm-hmm.
you just keep it flat. Mm-hmm. And you say every year I'll increase by 10.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have 11 million in 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same person who's saying, I want to take a mortgage today. So the things that came out of that season were time, discipline, and patience.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things that make a difference between being financially free and financially insecure.
Mm-hmm.
Just that. And you don't even need to do something spectacular. Just compound interest. I will invest. My work is to pay attention to what investments are out there and grow my income. Then that's my passive. On my active income, if I'm young and I have energy, you need to maximize your money making opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm earning this from here, what am I going to do for the next 1 hour?
Mm-hmm.
What am I going to do in the evening? There are e-jobs. You know, you don't have to depend on one salary. So finding ways to maximize your energy and put it into productive commercial use.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I mean, this is something that if you're doing it here, you find a way of curating it without infringing on any of the rights
yeah.
here, but you can monetize it. And
yeah.
there are many ways that you can monetize it.
Yeah.
And it's making the most because your Barack, your person today, between now and 60, which is when you have a lot of energy to work, is the person that has to finance you from 60 to, God willing, 90.
Yeah.
Mm. But at some point, I don't know if you're married or if you have children,
yeah.
at some point it stops being about you.
Yeah.
So you have your house to feed, you have people to take to school, you know, so you find that the amount of capital you have is much lower.
Yeah.
So put aside as much as you can, whether it's in money markets, whether it's in trading effects, whether it's in buying shares, but you must make that investment in your own personal knowledge.
Mm.
Where am I at now? But let me not preempt the next question. You see what I did, Metro. In fact,
yeah.
I hosted a very good show.
Yeah, yeah, yes, yes, yes,
on
yes,
Metropole
yes, yes,
TV.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
that was very, and yeah. it was very random, far removed.
Yeah,
but you see, you have to
initially.
Have that mindset of whatever opportunity comes.
Yeah,
I could have easily said that's beneath me.
Yeah,
I mean Dubois. I'm like, who are the where? I used to go and what Dubois like, hey, madam, Dubois. I'm like,
yeah.
no, Dubois. I'm
yeah.
like, we are not losing.
I mean,
this.
But do. I mean, I must think that you must have a certain mental fortitude.
Mm-hmm.
Mental fortitude and acceptance, you know, where, like you said, yeah, you've come from being a Kenya lead, you know, for an international organization. You were in Nigeria, you're in Seoul, you're in all these different countries doing all these different things. And now you're saying, okay, things have gone belly up. And I'm just going to have to figure it out. And you're in, as you said, Dubois,
mm-hmm.
you know, spent buying things for 10,000 shillings and selling them from the boot of your car.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that must take, I don't know, just a certain level of being able to be real with yourself,
mm-hmm.
I think, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, and I'm making a huge assumption here, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know if the average person has that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think, you know, many people might be just sit and try and apply for many different jobs and
mm-hmm.
wait for that to
mm-hmm.
to you know come
mm-hmm.
to fruition because
mm-hmm.
your skill set is at a certain level.
Yes.
Like, what do you think it is? Is it that made you be like, no, 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 I'm going to apply for the jobs, but mm-hmm. even in the meantime, I'm gonna do everything I possibly can mm-hmm. to try and raise this money.
Okay. I think first, there's a lot of God's grace.
Yeah.
But you see, for me, everyone's journey is different. I think for me, there's that seed of, I really, really want to see this prosperity for Africa story. Yeah. It hasn't materialized yet. I still don't have a framework for it, but I feel every single step that I go works. Yeah. So for me, in that season, I think everybody said, go get a job.
Yeah.
I said, no, I'm not going to get a job. I'll actually take this opportunity to figure out. And then it was just before COVID. So COVID happened. Mm-hmm. So everyone was forced out, and it's COVID that helped me then crystallize this. Mm. And again, I mean, it's Steve Jobs that used to say, you can't join the dots from the beginning. You mm-hmm. can only join the dots from the back.
Yeah.
I'm now at Nairobi Securities Exchange.
Yeah.
This job came along because I used to do a lot of, I'm like, let's do this, let's do this, let's do this, let's host this. But you find that in that season, that dry season for 3 years, mm-hmm. when I came with so much fire, and mm-hmm. my focus is not just to get paid at the end mm-hmm. of the month. But my focus is, how do we get these businesses to come in? Mm-hmm. We work with EGM. We're like, what is the interplay between FX and shares? You mm-hmm. know, I'm trying to tell them like, okay, derivatives, can your people sell derivatives mm-hmm. or participate in options trading? Mm-hmm. Or we have Ibuka, which we have reinvigorated. And we're saying we have a platform that can evaluate you on an investor basis and connect you with investors,
yeah.
financiers, you know. Or it's saying now we have Empower Her mm-hmm. and realizing that there are 610,000 female investors, whereas there are 1.2 million male. And these women, their portfolio value is 3 billion shillings. The men, it's 3 times. It's 10 billion. So asking ourselves, can we just keep having a money conversation? Or if we want to have an equitable society, how can we also carry along this particular agenda?
Yeah.
You know, so those are the things I find that in hindsight, they're all making sense. I might not see the full picture today.
Yeah.
I'll see it later.
Yeah.
But if you pursue financial freedom with impact, with seeking knowledge and understanding, and with seeking to make people's lives different. Mm-hmm. I think for me, mm-hmm. that's what has helped. Mm. I wish I could tell you I have a billion shillings here.
Yeah.
I don't have. I hope one day I have.
Right.
But
right.
even though I don't have, I think because my heart moved from I want my bottom line to how do we add value to more people? Mm-hmm. How do we drive? For me, honestly, my what's in my heart today is how will Kenyans make wealth at the NSC? You know, I mean, look at our debt scenario today. Our debt is over 11 trillion. Mm-hmm. The government of Kenya has assets. Our marketplace should be a place where they come and sell assets and get money to offset that.
Yeah.
But how do you get this quality assets? How do you grow these companies
yeah.
so that they are worthwhile?
Yeah.
Today, we're talking about climate change. We're talking about carbon credits.
Yeah.
How do we position the NSC to create a marketplace for carbon credits mm-hmm. so that the lady who's back at home and growing her trees is able to benefit from that?
Yeah.
So you see, you find a way to balance what you would like to do and
yeah.
what I believe my purpose is with all the spaces that you're in. And yeah. even here, speaking to you, it's pushing that conversation.
Yeah.
It's not a money conversation of let's sell this and get this and let's do this.
Right.
So that you realize that the well-being of an economy, the well-being of a society, a family or an individual stretches beyond finances.
Yeah.
There has to be, how do we drive economic empowerment so that you have a better future,
yeah.
your children have a better future.
Yeah.
People who come 100 years from today can just be there bawling.
Yeah.
But if they bawl and they don't have the fortitude and the right character,
yeah.
it'll mean nothing. If they continue to build generational wealth, it will make a difference.
Yeah.
So it's just finding the space to play that little role in that little space.
In that ecosystem.
Way. Yeah.
Okay. Two final questions.
Great.
If I was to ask you to describe your financial journey as a book title, mm-hmm. what would it be?
Fearless.
Why? Why
because
fearless?
Sometimes I'm the one who's fear, you know, I'm the one, you know, the financial journey is like, there are days you walk in and you're like, I got this.
Yeah.
Man, then it turns and it has you.
Yeah.
So you're trying to be like, I don't want to be fearful of the situation that I'm
yeah.
in. And
yeah.
then there are days you're like, you better be scared of me.
Yeah.
So I'll call it, it's been a fearless journey.
Yeah.
Because a fearless journey means for me getting out of what I have perceived money to be mm-hmm. to what I think it should be. Mm-hmm. I think in one of your questions, you're like, how did you grow up with money and how do you think about
yeah.
money? As Kenyans, we are very good at spending and using money to feel good. Mm-hmm. How do I show up? How do I dress up? Mm-hmm. But we need to get to the space of how do I actually create economic activity that adds value and grows my personal net worth? Mm-hmm. So I want my personal net worth to be fearless. I'll put it very simply. Barack, today, can you imagine if your net worth is 100 million shillings invested in infrastructure bonds at 18% a year? How much are you making every year? 18 million. 18. So year one, and there was the 8.5 year issuance. So let's do it. So the first year you get 18 million.
Right.
Second year, 18 million.
Right.
Maybe someone will help us calculate how many millions this are.
Collins okay. Will
so
help
we have year
calculate.
One, 18 million right. interest. Mm-hmm. You've put 100 million, isn't it?
Yeah.
So first year we've gotten 18 million. Million. Second year, 18 million.
Yeah.
Third year, 18 million. Fourth year till the eighth year. So it's 18 times 8.
Yeah.
How much is 18 times 8, Collins? 144. Add 9 million. Because it's 8.5 years.
Yeah.
Add 9 million. 153. How much did I... And then at the end of the 8.5 years, I get back my 100 million. So I've made 150, 153 in interest.
Yeah.
And I'll get back my 100 million. So how much is that plus my 100?
What's the minimum amount right now?
It's 100,000.
Yeah.
100,000. 100,000. So are you seeing the context of patience?
Yeah.
Where you say, I want to buy this and I want to buy this and I want to... But there has to be a balance. That's why there's no one size fits all.
Yeah.
But if you just... I keep saying for your financially incorrect, if you just have a bare minimum and say, can I put 10, 20... If I don't have responsibilities, bare minimum, put 10% aside.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't have responsibilities, can I challenge myself to save 50%
mm-hmm.
of the money that comes my way?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be your salary only because you can decide, I want to be putting aside 200,000, for example.
Yeah.
Can I look for other gigs that give me my investment money? You see, we normally look for your side hustle for the lifestyle, isn't it?
Yeah.
So why can't you have a side hustle for the investment?
Yeah.
And then you diversify your portfolio.
Yeah.
So 8.5 years from today, we're in 2024. When is 8 years from now?
It's 2032.
It's not far.
Yeah.
How old will you be then?
I will be... I'll be 40.
It's not far.
Years, yeah.
So you see, if you start putting money aside now, possibly, I don't know if you have, do you have a family? Do you desire to have a family? Okay. So by the time you're 40, if you wanted to buy a house today, if you just start putting a minimum amount, and there are many resources out there, compound interest calculator, you can actually find that at the time you're 40, your financial decision can be, I want to buy my house and pay up at least 50%
of the, house,
of the mortgage.
Yeah.
You know, but your lifestyle continues and you just don't take it to the next level.
Yeah.
Just moderate it. So if you look at it in that sense, then your financial journey doesn't have to be, I saved and never ate. There are those extremes. Or I spend and I never saved.
Yeah.
So you look at it. And for me, what I try and do is say, can I actually match my consumption to my savings? That's my goal. So that's what I'm working towards. Mm. So if I'm going to spend... if I spend 1,000 shillings, it's even as basic as, like, especially for weekends.
Yeah.
If I spend 1,000 shillings, can I put 1,000 into my money market?
Yeah.
Can I put 1,000 into my share account?
Yeah.
Can I put my 1,000 into my FX account?
Yeah.
So that way, anytime you're spending, you're matching. You're spending, you're matching. So you're putting kidogo, kidogo. And then you, by the time you're 40, you can do so much. And then you take up all these products. You can take up to even finance your, the education of your kids later on. Without even breaking a sweat.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I can tell you from my financial journeys, which have just been quite... hey, man, they have stretched me, but they've built me.
Yeah.
Is I what I wish I knew from when I started working at the age of 23 or 24.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up knowing that don't spend what you don't have.
Yeah.
So my expenses and my...
Yeah.
So and I like good things.
Yeah.
Because first, my dad was extra. My goodness, my dad is extra. Mm-hmm. Likes fine things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My mom is frugal.
Mm-hmm.
So we liked the lifestyle. Me, I became like, I don't know if it's
right.
sociology, whatever. I don't know what it is. But I do like fine things. I like going to fine places, fine spaces. I really just enjoy.
Yeah.
So my what I used to do is make sure I don't get debt. But that's how I grew up, what I grew up knowing.
Mm.
Now, what I wish I could have done differently, and I'm already doing now, and why you need to learn this and pass it to your kids, is save more and invest and compound interest is the magic that you'll never have known.
Yeah.
You don't even need to overthink and do all these crazy things. Just ensure that I am not losing my money.
Yeah.
If you lose your money, it doesn't help.
Yeah.
You'd rather have your money and it keeps earning a little bit and a little bit and a little bit than going for the person who's going to give you 3% and you don't ask yourself, if I lose that money, will I sleep?
Wait, and then month five,
you
know,
disappears. Hey, you're like, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, Steve walks the streets. Yeah. You're like, hiya. Anyway, but those some things I think don't learn from your experience, learn from my experience, other people's experiences.
Yeah.
I like the show that you're doing. You can learn a lot.
Yeah.
But I think you can also have a lot more positive impact in curating these stories, but also finding a way to document them and personalizing them.
Yeah.
I think that's how I'd look at it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Final question.
Yes.
What's the most exciting thing about the NSC right now? For me as a layman.
Okay.
Right? What's the most exciting thing for the around, or why should I be excited about the NSE right now? Then you saying that you're the, you know, best African market right now.
Since you brought it up.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
You know, let's give it up. You know, there's always this meme of like, give it up for the back of it. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Nairobi Securities Exchange is the best market in Africa.
You know, I hope by the time this episode airs, it's still the best market.
Dude, just cut that part off. But are you saying Kenyans? Like, I can't even celebrate. If it was the reverse, you'd be like, why you guys are watching? Like, it doesn't matter. The fact is there, we are the best.
No, yeah, I'm
markets
joking,
are
I'm
cyclical.
Joking. Yeah,
markets joking, go up, markets go down.
Yeah.
They're not static in nature. Today, you want to pay attention to shares because you're buying shares so cheaply. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've seen this kind of cheap valuations. Mm-hmm. Actually, the last time we saw this kind of valuations was in the early 2000s, even before I joined the industry.
Yeah.
So you want to pay attention because if a stock moves from 15 to 30, it's the fastest way that you're going to be able to make your money.
Yeah.
But do your homework because it can move from 15 to 14.5.
Yeah. But can it not move from 15 to 7? It can, no?
Dude, 14.5. Like, why are you being so extreme? Have you lost money? I've made money in the stock exchange. Yeah. I've lost money. Buy the stocks, especially the large chips.
Yeah.
Because like the banks and the telcos, my goodness.
Yeah.
I'm like, these valuations you've never seen. And in fact, let me give you an example. Safaricom was at, it came to a low of 13, 13.5.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, now it started tapering, 15.5.
Mm-hmm.
Because here, the trick is demand is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Foreign demand is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
With you losing money on your currency, others are coming in.
Yeah.
You know, so pay attention to it. Do your homework. There's Dosika, which is an app. You can download it. It gives you all the information about the shares.
Mm-hmm.
You can talk to investment bankers.
Mm-hmm.
They're all of them on our website. I think whether it's stocks or it's... I think people focus on, what is the one thing that I'll do? You need to focus on, in fact, for you, I'd say, get a book on, there's a book called The Psychology of Money. I don't know if you've read it.
I haven't read it. In fact, I saw it last week.
You should read it.
Yeah.
Because that way, it won't be, should I put my money in FX? Should I put it in land? It'll be first understanding, what am I trying to do when I'm 40? Where am I trying to get at?
Yeah.
Then, what financial products will help me get there? You know, then what's the basic information I need to have? And how, in fact, what I normally say, do your personal net worth check.
Yeah.
I'm happy to walk you guys through this offline. Do your personal net. What are my assets today? What do I have? Who do I owe? Is it positive? Is it negative? How do I want this to look like in the next year? For me, I give myself a basic target of, I want it to go by 20%, which means it doubles
year
in 5 years, year on year.
Okay.
20%. How will I finance this? Will I take debt? Will I save more?
Yeah.
So one of my priorities this year is, now I want to put a little bit more into government treasury bills, but also opportunistic looking for shares as well.
Okay.
So that I balance it.
Okay.
So if you look at it like that, then you're not caught up in the wave of, what is everyone doing? Today we're doing Coinex as Kenyans, tomorrow we're doing this.
Yeah.
You're not caught up in that.
Yeah.
Your work should be, what of all these financial opportunities available to me, which one is moving me closer to my financial objective, so that you're actually more proactive and you own your journey and you work towards financial freedom. And what financial freedom is, your cash flow from investments can cover all your expenses.
Yeah.
So if you decide, I want my personal net worth to be 100 million in 60 years, I can assure you it's possible.
Yeah.
Just start now. Protect your capital. Don't lose it like I did mine.
Yeah.
Protect your capital and let compound interest work for you and keep growing that and over and over again.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have just realized I have one more thing I want to ask you. one last thing. And this actually is also for the benefit of the people who watch Financially Incorrect, right? And we'll see whether you'll answer. It's an interesting question. So usually, because I you know, we get figures from people, and, you know, salaries and amounts. And so we've come across two different types of guests that we work with, right? So there's people who, I guess, are rather open. Obviously, we never ask people. I ask people to answer questions at the point at which they're comfortable.
Okay.
But then there's a set of guests who are just like, nah, you know, I'll try to give you ranges, maybe, nah.
Okay.
But there's some set of guests who are like, no, figures for me are going to be a little bit uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious around your thoughts of, and obviously there's also the position that you have and the position in certain corporate places that probably would dictate someone not being willing to disclose certain things. So I'm really curious because if you look at, for example, the highest paid people in our lands, whether you're talking about the James Morias or even the CEO who's just left. I mean, I believe his salary was published. Mm-hmm. I think it was 1.9 million a month. I think James, whatever, is it 16 million a month or something? Or is it 29? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Whatever crazy figure it is. So I'm wondering, like, what happens, like, in between, in between where you're, like, at a level where you can say, yeah, I earn 200,000 or 300,000, and then there's, like, a mist in between there, and then there's a point where the public genuinely has to know how much you're earning, right? So I'm wondering, for you, if you get to that point, right, where now your salary will be...
I thought you're seeing potential here. No, you're saying when you get to that point...
When you get to that point, when you get to that point where your salary would be a public known
man, I can see it.
Like, what do you think the difference would be with you being comfortable with people knowing how much you earn at that point, and right now with you not being so comfortable with people knowing how much you earn right now?
Hey man, I'm still stuck on
on when you get there.
You know, there's so much you can do with those figures that are out there.
Yeah.
So let me give an answer differently. Imagine if we say, let's save 10% of 100,000, right? How much do you save in a year? It's 1.2 million. 1.2 million, isn't it? Now,
of 100,000?
No, 120K.
Yeah,
120, yes. Yeah, yeah, but are you saying we have the same principles?
Yeah.
But now imagine you're at that, you're saying, let's call it 2 million. Mm-hmm. 2 million. You're saving how much in a month? 200,000?
10%? Yeah.
How much do you have in a year?
That's 2.4.
2.4.
Yeah.
If you do that for 10 years, this person will have saved just doing nothing. 24. The other guy, okay, not the other person. The person who's saving 10,000 will get to 2.4 million.
Yeah.
So one of the things about being wealthy and financial freedom is you have to be good at your skill. You have to earn a lot of money because then you get to your context of financial freedom faster. If I have 24 million that I'm putting into investments that are yielding a return of between 15 and 18%, I'm going to get to financial freedom faster than the person who's saving 10,000.
Yeah.
So yes, I look forward to the day that by God's grace and mercy and privilege and everything that I get there. But if it's made public, I would hope that what is made public is the impact that I've had. I told you we're doing Empower Hour, which is financial literacy for women, investors and businesses. In the space that we see, there's an opportunity for us to impact female-owned businesses, female-led businesses, and female investors. I would hope that on that day, the word actually takes precedence over what I'm earning is, this lady has been to 47 counties. This lady and the people that she works with, we have seen her actually come and move businesses and raise funding from maybe 100 million to billions of shillings through the equity markets. For businesses in Kenya today. This lady has started with all these chamas and they've worked and they've grown their wealth from X to Y. That is the story that I'd hope to be out there.
Yeah.
Which tells you that I don't know if or when I'll ever get there, but my mind and my heart is on how many other people will have been impacted by the time I get there. That's what would be more important for me at that point in time.
But do you think you'd care less? Like it wouldn't matter now if people knew that you're earning 2.9 million a month or whatever.
If I've made an impact, if I'm earning 2.9 million, I'd hope my impact for that amount of money is 100, if not 1,000 times more.
Yeah.
How much value have I generated? That's what I'd want to see there. But still, I'm still stuck on that figure. I'm like, no, they, you know, because of banks nowadays. Like, could you do it anyway?
Anyway,
so that's what I'd like to do.
Yeah.
And the thing about even as you go through your career, like there's a day where you're like, man, if I could just earn 10,000 shillings, isn't it? Then from 10,000 you go, it's just the way we are. 20,000.
200, I mean, 200.
You know, like, have you noticed those guys you're talking about at, you know, starting career? You know, ask someone, why are you changing jobs? 30K.
Yeah.
You're like, you change your job for 30 Gs. Yeah. And it's going to be taxed.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, me, I just need to, you know, I just need to. But you need to take a step back and like, what's important to you? You know, are you going to learn? Is it going to be an environment where you can learn? Are you going to be able to impact? Will you grow horizontally? Will you be able to have time to balance with other areas of your life? Can you work out? Can you spend time with your family? And what have you. You know, it's a mouthful, but I've had a lot of fun. Maybe I have a question for you.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. How much please. Do you earn?
Nobody's ever asked me that question.
Well,
how much do I earn now? I can tell you, I can answer that question in the same way that people who have sat on that seat have answered questions.
Okay, great.
So
let me listen.
My first paid job was as a legal assistant at a law firm.
Mm-hmm.
My salary was 20,000 shillings,
mm-hmm.
and then I then became when I passed the bar, they increased the money. I think it got to like 30 something, then 40 something.
She's doubling.
You had to pass exams, mm-hmm. and then I got out of employment.
Okay,
and ever since I've been an entrepreneur, and it's been. Awesome. A learning experience since then. I will continue this earning story as we continue the financial story.
It's been such a pleasure being here.
Yeah.
I can't leave without saying something about women because we are celebrating.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
You know, that's important.
Please.
Even the colors.
In fact, in fact when we started, you told me the full theme for this year is not just inspire inclusion, but inspire inclusion.
Accelerate growth.
So
what does, I mean, that it's interesting. So this year, again, I had the privilege of just talking about, NSC normally rings the bell for gender equality every year, alongside 122 other exchanges globally. So it's a big thing for us because we do want this conversation to actually, we ring the bell as loud as we can so that it can keep ringing and everybody does something about it. When I think about it this year, you know, this thing started in the early part of the previous century, so 1907, 1911, and there were people who were protesting in Russia. I've been to Moscow, so I couldn't imagine women protesting in Russia in 1911, and also in the streets of New York. And for them, they were saying, we want better pay, we want to be able to take care of our families and not to be penalized for it. And so they were fighting for whatever rights they were fighting for. And today, 110 years later, we're in a space where there's so many opportunities for women, whether it's informal employment or in informal employment, and you can do so much more. So I think the responsibility is for us, even as women, how can you invest in your own growth? You know, how can you invest in your own person to accelerate growth all around?
Yeah.
What my mom could do, I can do more.
Yeah.
She could do more than what happened. My grandmother used to go to the farm, make sisal baskets, we call them donge, and then bring women to Nairobi. They're working to come and sell them in Nairobi because that's how the marketplace is. And then out of that, they came up with Maendeleo. They joined Maendeleo Wanawake, bought a commercial building, invested. Same thing on my paternal side. She was a school teacher, was a farmer, used to invest to the last shilling. Actually, we have a third level inheritance of KCB shares. Maybe that's why I'm still here. Because they used to buy KCB and what was Absa, which was Barclays Bank then.
Right.
So they'd go to Machakos Town. We want to buy shares. And they made money from that. So I think International Women's Day this year, when you're talking about investing and accelerating in growth, then it's making space for everybody. And I summed it in three A's. And I said, access. We have to provide access for women. Not that they're better than men or worse than men, but it helps when people open a space for women. Like, they're open for me to share a story. And then acceptance. Women struggle with acceptance. So you're invited to a boardroom, then you're hooko. At the end, you know, you're about to fall. You're like, oh my gosh, it is shaking. Like, it's not a plane. Like, sit in your seat.
Right.
Enjoy that space.
Right.
And then when you do that, the third A is end again. Because sometimes as women, when you make mistakes, you don't pick yourself up again.
Yeah.
And you heard my story. My story is you cry. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I scream. In fact, I have a friend who used to say, by the way, being a broke fat person is not nice. That's why you jog. Because you can eat ice cream cake. You're like, these things are hard. Anyway, end again.
Yeah.
So when I look at International Women's Day in 2024, open access for others. Ask for access. Because when you're there, you can actually influence the decision.
Mm-hmm.
Accept what is given to you and don't second guess yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Do the right thing. Ask for the right thing. And negotiate well. We don't negotiate very well.
Yeah.
And then thirdly, if you fall and you will fall, and again, accelerate.
Yeah.
So that you're making a difference for the sisters coming behind you, for your daughters, for your nieces, and people who will say 100 years from today, what did we do? And remember, my grandmother had to walk to Nairobi.
Yeah.
Today, we're in a digital ecosystem.
Yeah.
There's nothing you cannot do to be economically empowered.
Right.
So let's empower other people.
Right.
So as NSC, we have Empower Her. We want to invite you guys. In fact, you should come and host one of these shows on our trading floor.
Yeah.
Bring a whole system of women. Shiko shall be there carrying the banner, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that we can have that conversation.
Yeah.
So it's a great opportunity for women.
Yeah.
But it's not about having pink and purple ribbons. It's about asking, what will you do to make a difference? And an economic and social difference by going outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited. And it's a bit late in the day, but a happy International Women's Day to all your women viewers.
Yeah.
And we look forward to engaging further.
Yeah, Collins, you've had the pitch, so you know, make it happen.
Great.
Thank you so much for coming. I have your story was unexpected. I've learned a lot.
Okay.
Digging through a sort of short financial coaching session. But thank you so much for coming. You're I hope welcome. You enjoyed it. I hope you guys have enjoyed the episode. Yeah. And we'll see you guys in the next episode. And again, I know it's late. This, I think, should still go out in March. We're still celebrating women this month. So I hope you feel valued. I hope you feel celebrated. And yeah, we'll see you guys in the next episode.
Happy International Women's Day! What for us?
Is it the same bell? It's the same bell like literally.
Normally bigger. We celebrate you. We celebrate your economic empowerment. Keep coming for your training here. Pay attention to your finances and make a difference for yourself. Make space for every other woman. Accept it. Gain access, accept it, and again, accelerate. Invest in yourself and in other women, and let's make Kenya and the world a better place and enhance the African prosperity story.